Yeah, I'll have a large extra butter popcorn, and she'll have snow caps? Really? Snow caps? They taste like cardboard. Okay.
Come along, it's time for you to listen to the interview from DC to MCU. It's time for Rundown Reviews. Rundown Reviews. Rundown Reviews.
I waited, so at this, just this one random intersection that's outside of the Covered Bridge Festival in Southern Indiana, we were there for over 45 minutes. And then,
like, south of Indy, or
yeah,
like Indy?
South, it's like south, southwest of Indy.
Oh, okay. Like around Avon era?
Like, I think it's like Rockwell or something like that. I don't know.
Okay.
But so we left there, had to wait right there. We get in towards Indy. And I don't know what the hell was going on in Indy, but it was a nightmare of traffic. Like
construction.
Well, not just the construction. I think there might have been a show or something going on today, because there was like, I mean, it was packed like to the gills. Like, we were sitting in traffic in Indy for another probably 40 minutes, 45 minutes. And then we finally got on to 69. We stopped to get gas because by that time we were, you know, needing gas. And we get back on. And four different places between Indy and Fort Wayne, we were at a complete stop on 69.
Jesus Christ.
It was fucking stupid. Lovely. Also, yeah. Real quick shout out to the police that were directing traffic. You guys fucking suck, 1312, and I hate all of you motherfuckers. Anyways,
this is what I don't understand is, okay, so peek behind the curtain, we're doing back-to-back recordings in the same week. How the fuck do you show up an hour late to a back-to-back recording? How did you leave and then come back for a back-to-back recording, you bastard? Speaking of not respecting men, brothers, sisters, gender resistors, welcome to another episode.
He's really proud of that.
Yeah, I was really proud of that one.
That's pretty good.
The Comic Book Rundown presents Rundown Reviews. I, of course, am the man who's going to rush in this introduction. I am Chuck, and I am joined by Ron.
Finally.
Finally. And Joe, the man who's been sitting here for over an hour, sitting in a chat room waiting.
He's actually been sitting here for an hour and a half.
Also true, because I didn't come in until I was told to. Look,
that's
hey.
Because you're a good boy.
Hey. That works for me usually. what the fuck did we watch? We watched Alien Resurrection?
Holy crap. What the fuck?
So is this the first time you guys have watched this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. This is my second time I watched this. I watched this probably in 97 or 98. Sometime after it came out, I watched that. My dad, I think, rented it on video and watched it.
Seems legit.
So I remember two things from this movie.
Boobs?
No.
Oh.
The first thing I remembered was Winona Ryder's character, Call, being a synthetic, and the newborn alien thing at the end. That's the only two things I remembered from this movie.
I feel like that newborn alien thing is a meme. Like, I have seen it before. I've never seen this movie, but I've seen that thing before because I always thought it was somebody spoofing on aliens.
Ah.
But then I saw this and it came from that.
It looked like Pumpkinhead.
Kinda.
Yeah, a little bit it does.
Yeah. I didn't really. It kind of lost me. So. Okay. This seems like a movie that would, like, reading the plot and looking at the people who are on the cast of it, this should have been a really good movie.
It's got a really good cast.
It has a really good, dynamic, interesting cast. The plot, I actually liked the idea of it.
The concept of, like, kinda, nice, yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand where the disconnect happens. It's like every one of those actors forgot how to act.
Oh, so I don't know if you saw it at the front, but Joss Whedon wrote this.
Yeah, so I'm going to bring that up.
And he doesn't know how to write women, so.
Peek behind the curtain, 100%. Anymore, like, for whatever reason, we thought he did, but turns out he doesn't. Peek Behind the Curtain. Earlier today, Chuck had asked us who directed this movie and who agreed. Well, it was directed and who wrote it?
Yeah.
Or who greenlit this project or something like that.
Who wrote and who approved this movie?
That's what it was. So the writer, Joss Whedon, was one of the writers. It actually had three writers: Dan O'Bannon, Ronald Shusett, and Joss Whedon.
Why do so many men hate women?
I don't know. I don't know, man.
Like, okay, the other thing is, like,
this is Joss Whedon in 1997. Yo, we had Buffy in what, 92?
Five?
The movie?
Oh, the movie, yeah. It was 92. And then, yeah.
And then the show came out in 95, 96, 97, something somewhere like that, around yeah. there. So, like, Joss Whedon at his top game, allegedly. And then this movie came out.
Well, like, he dropped the ball.
Well, yeah. Like, don't get me wrong. I'll be honest. I was liking most of this movie until the third act. The third act fell apart for me.
See, and I feel like
a lot of things happened because of that. I can point it out when we get to it, but I feel like a lot of things fell apart, which is why I think the third act fell apart. But what did you say, Ron? You said it fell apart.
Oh, I said it fell apart way before that. Like, there was never really a cohesive thing going on. Like, they had this great idea of, you know, Ripley being
revived or
copied, a clone. Thank you. Cloned from, like, the cells, and her being part alien, part human. And, like, that was a cool concept. And then when we get, like, Hellboy and the bad guy from The Crow and Wynonna coming in, and they're like bringing people in here, like random people, you know, as guinea pigs for this.
Yeah.
And like, then we're supposed to believe that, like, Wynonna Ryder's character knew about this the whole time, and she was like this agent that was plotted in here to kill Ripley before Ripley was able to produce an offspring. And...
Well, she knew about Ripley because she had found the files before she had left, before the rest of the other synthetics got shut down.
Yeah, because she technically is like a rogue synthetic.
Yeah. Yeah. But she didn't know Ripley was back, is basically, like, last to her knowledge, Ripley was gone. Ripley was dead.
Because she was. 200 years.
Yeah.
So also, I would like to point out that they had no growth in 200 years.
Oh, God, no.
Like, nothing changed in 200 years.
Have you seen
years.
The United States?
Nothing's changed. That's fair. That's fair. But, you know, like, capitalism produces innovation, Joey. That's what we're told.
You're not wrong. But here's the thing I'll say. After watching Alien Earth recently, I'll say that seeing Ripley the way she is in here, it reminds me a lot of Wendy in Alien Earth. Yeah. And Ron, if you haven't seen Alien Earth yet, check out Alien Earth. It is amazing.
Do I need to watch all the other Alien movies?
Okay. No.
It you can go in fresh. It
fantastic.
Is, it's awesome.
It's a standalone story just in this universe. If you've seen what we have watched, you have enough to be like, oh, okay, I know, I get this reference. Yeah. But there's maybe like three of those through the entire thing.
Gotcha. I'll say it, like, they bring up Weyland Yutani in this movie.
Yeah.
Weyland Yutani is talked about in Alien Earth, which when Chuck came on to A Walk Through the Multiverse and we talked about it, that was something we had actually mentioned, because we had forgotten about a company being talked about in the movies. So that was the company that they had talked about in the movies. So it's connecting that way, which is kind of cool.
But it is a great world builder for what we're watching currently.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
But I agree with you that this shit fell apart. Kind of when, like, Ron Perlman and his really fucking creepy ass dude bro show up.
Yeah.
Why in the grim darkness of the far future does every man just wanna sexually assault a woman? Apparently. And why?
Because obviously in the future, the MAGA people continue on thriving.
Yeah,
incels have been a thing for...
I mean, that's true. And Joss Whedon is a like hardcore advocate for incels in everything that he writes, pretty much.
I mean, can't disagree with you.
But the other question is why in the Seven Hells was Hillard with the creepy dude from The Crow? That one was too fine to be stuck with that dude. Just saying.
I mean, I like how you keep going back to The Crow and not like Three Musketeers or...
Because he actually is like a better douchebag in Three Musketeers. In The Crow, he's just a terrible actor, and that's what he reminds me of in this.
Okay, fair. That's fair.
Because in Three Musketeers, he actually plays a really good bad guy.
He's awesome in Three Musketeers, yeah. Loved him in Three Musketeers.
But in The Crow, I'm pretty sure he was coked out, so...
Probably, yeah.
I mean, probably in this, too. Chances
are, yeah.
He probably shot Brandon Lee Mulligan, if I had to guess.
Brandon Lee Mulligan's still alive, bub.
Who am I thinking of?
Brandon Lee.
Who did I say?
You said the dude from...
Dimension 20?
Yeah, Dimension 20, yeah.
Yeah, no, it'd be a real shame if somebody shot him, for sure.
Absolutely, he's a gem. The general that was the one guy from the Addams Family.
Yeah.
Seeing him in a serious role will never, ever work for me because he is too much of a... He's much of a funny look to him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chuck, are you guys related? Because when he took his shirt off and he had his sleeves off and still had his sleeves on, like...
Dude, yeah. All the body hair.
Yeah, that made me think of Chuck hardcore. And are you guys related? Is that your dad? Is that why he never came back?
Oh, damn. He got killed in the future?
Wow, it's coming from a lot of... I'm getting a lot of shit from a guy who was an hour fucking late. But okay.
I was an hour and 15 minutes late. Thank you very much.
Yeah, if you got to say it right, I guess?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's not wrong. All right.
But it's still weird seeing him in like a serious role because I can't take him seriously. Like, I don't know. I don't know why that is, but there's just something about the way that he, like his facial expressions. I'm just like, somebody actually made this dude a general. Come on. Nobody made
it. We're talking about, we had Brad Dourif in this movie who was supposed to be a serious doctor. And all I could see was Chucky.
I mean, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
But he was also kind of creepy in this. That's the dude that was making out with the alien, right? Like through the glass.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. That was weird. That goes back to the whole incel thing. Like, just saying.
Yeah, I really wish they would have leaned into his character more and like explored not the sexuality thing, but it felt like he was on the verge of like a cult.
Oh.
No, like a cult. Well, I mean, it is a cult, yeah. So that makes sense. But like leaning into the idea of like a cult thing, like that's what he felt like.
100% was like a praise and worship type, like the xenomorphs would have been his new god.
Like his new god, right? And he was getting to witness it firsthand.
Yeah,
but that was also weird because when they had the eggs in front of all of the people and the eggs were waking up so that the facehuggers could latch onto them, it looked like he was like scared and afraid for them.
Yeah, the guy next to him looked more into it than Kitty. He was.
Yeah,
yeah. Maybe he was afraid that they wouldn't take. Who knows? Maybe he didn't know that he was going to find them as attractive as he did after they grew up.
I mean, also the fact that there was, I had counted, they had brought eight people, Ron Perlman's group, Johnner and all them, brought eight people in. But they apparently had
12
plus xenomorphs.
Yeah.
Because
they said that she was giving... No, because I guess that was the first one she was giving birth to, wasn't it?
So that's the thing. Because when later she finds out when they're trying to leave and she finds the room conveniently marked 1 through 7 because this Ripley is number 8. And she finds the number 7, I assume, clone that is...
Killed me.
Almost human. But yeah, she's got the scar on her, like they had taken out an alien chest burster there from that one. And my thinking, here's my question though. So they found blood samples from the prison from 3, and they were able to clone her, and they cloned her 8 different times.
Sure.
Obviously the first 6 didn't take, 7 sort of took, but it still was deformed. But 8 was the one that was a success for the most part. How in the hell can a xenomorph chest burster, whatever you want to call them, how was that alien species reproduced from Ripley's blood cells and not...
Because in 3, she was infected with one before she died.
Sure. She was infected, but it was already in her. Yeah. Like, the thing was in her.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I honestly... because, you know... Unexplainable science, comic logic.
Sure. That is some of the not great writing.
Yeah.
Well, not the great explanation. Hold on. No.
Okay,
they do explain it in Aliens. Because
Aliens plural. Sorry, second. Yeah.
Yeah, Aliens plural. Because they have the facehugger that clings to the dog, and then that's when we get the like running dog versions of the xenomorphs.
Well, yes.
Because right, so the one that was implanted inside of her would have absorbed her DNA.
Like, yeah, I guess that's
fair. The xenomorph takes on whatever like traits its host has.
Yes, no, I get that. But what I'm saying is the blood that they took from the prison in on that planet was Ripley's blood. How does the xenomorph facehugger or the chest burster, how is it still in her in the clone? That's what I was getting at.
Like how did it clone a human and then clone another chest burster?
Yeah, exactly. How did the chest burster show up in her clone body? It shouldn't have been in her clone body, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
Well, okay, maybe. So here's what they might have used. So they might have cloned her and it and incubated it in her, maybe?
But they didn't have...
Like when you have the inseminate, you know, they will. So they had her DNA.
They had her DNA, but they didn't have the alien DNA.
It might have been mixed in with hers by that time because she was infected with a chest burster.
Maybe.
So, and if that's the case, then maybe they used her like a surrogate. They produced her because they knew that she could produce a queen because the last time she had a queen in her, apparently.
Correct.
And then, so they're like, okay, so if we get her cells, we make her, we get the cells for the chest burster, make that, then she will make us a queen. I don't know. It's you know.
Is it in novelization? It might be in novelization.
I don't know. I've never read it.
It's probably
in the comic version.
Her having acid blood
was kind of neat, though.
I mean, just because she is the an alien hybrid.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I don't understand why she's so fucking special. Like.
She's 2.5 times.
Yeah, is that it? She's probably 40K Imperial Guard. Like you survived a mission, therefore you get promoted.
Yeah, well, okay, like so it's kind of like it's like, hey, what's the crutch that this franchise is leaning on? Oh, it's Sigourney Weaver. So we just got to keep bringing her back.
Oh, she wasn't going to come back for this. Apparently, they
paid her a lot.
Backed up a truck load of money.
Nice.
To come back. $11 million, yeah. Dollars, which was and how it, much the first movie was made for. That's how much she made in this movie.
Shows in her acting in this. The more we watch these, the more I don't think Sigourney Weaver's a good actress. what have we seen her in? Like Alien, Aliens, Ghostbusters. What else? Have we seen her in anything else? Alien 3.
The show here? Just those movies. Just
Alien is the only thing that I have liked that she's been in.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like the first one. What movie? Give me a movie that aren't those that she's been in that's worth watching.
Cabin in the Woods, I mean. But she's only in there for like 5 minutes at the very end of the movie.
Yeah, that's not enough for me. That's a cameo.
Yeah, it's definitely a cameo there.
No, yeah, well, I agree 100%. Well, let me pull up her IMDb here.
Like, I'm thinking that she just, like, she got real lucky one time. Like, that can't be right.
She got,
like,
real lucky more than one time. She's not a bad looking woman.
Right. So,
I mean, I guess Avatar, but I've never seen Avatar. So,
like the blue ones?
Yep.
Oh, that's right, because she's the doctor that, like, is there before he goes into, like, the little...
I don't remember her being in that, so that
most of the time she's one of the blue things, I think.
Yeah, but that's not good. Like, that's not a good movie. I don't care what anyone says, that's not a good movie.
Oh, I've never seen them. Anyway,
I don't really like them. Like, I watched Holes.
I loved her in Holes.
Oh, that's true. She was really good in Holes.
All right, I'll give you Holes. Okay, I'll give you Holes.
Hey, phrasing.
She was a Planet Express ship in the Futurama.
She was the voice of the ship, wasn't she?
Yep. Galaxy Quest.
Oh, she was good in Galaxy Quest because she was playing an actor.
And you're the guy who wrote that.
Yeah.
Your friend.
Yeah, Patrick, my boss's friend Patrick, wrote that movie.
So does he know who she had to fuck to get off the boat?
Probably. he won't say
that. That was such an out of pocket line. Like, it made for where it was in the movie, like, that was just ridiculous. Who do I have to fuck to get off this ship?
Yeah. So this movie was clearly written by men who have never touched a woman.
Yeah, that seems accurate. Never touched a woman consensually.
Yeah,
never consensually touched a woman.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, I forgot about that part. I forgot about those accusations. Good point. Yeah, man, this did not age well.
No,
this is not. This is a lot of stuff in this does not age well.
And you know, you talked about Sigourney Weaver not acting well in this, but Winona Ryder was also awful in this.
Oh, I thought she did fine.
I thought she was, like, not, like, the most bland, flatlined delivery of lines.
Well, I mean, to be fair, she was a synthetic. She was a synthetic.
But the synthetics were supposed to be so human that you couldn't tell.
No, they're all pretty flat. Like, especially when you watch Alien. Well, okay, but that's a prime example. What's his nuts in Alien Earth is a completely monotone kills it in comparison.
But that's a sign of good acting. That's like exactly.
I'm saying Alan Rickman
right. When he's completely monotone as the robot in
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Like, he's perfect, you know.
Doesn't he play number 4 in Superman 2?
That's Alan Tudyk.
Oh.
Yeah. Alan Rickman is the guy that played, like, the bad guy in Die Hard and Snape. And...
Hello, my name is Alan Rickman.
Yeah, that guy.
Oh, the Megatron?
Yeah, Metatron.
Metatron, that's what it is. Yeah, from Dogma?
From Dogma, yes.
Oh, fucking shout out to Selma Hayek. Holy shit.
Shout out to Selma Hayek. She is still...
Yo, she's in her 60s and she's smoking. A smoke show. God bless.
Anyways, back to Alien Res Suckerection. So the dude gets his head, like, the back of his head blown out, right, by the alien. Like, it fucking, like, shoots its little mouth and he reaches back after having his brains popped out and, like, pulls a piece of his brain out and looks at it and then dies.
Yeah, how is that possible?
Right? Like, that was some more just bad direction.
What comic logic?
But I will give some props. So during the water scene, not the terribly CGI'd aliens, but whoever the cameraman was that was, like, in the one chick's butt the whole time she was, I can tell that a dude directed this because that was a that's all you could see in most of that shot was just, like, ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. I mean, you're not right. Yeah. Correct. That's exactly what we watched, yeah.
I did laugh when the... so after the Xenomorphs with the Brad Dourif scene, like, him messing with them against the glass, and then they killed one of them to get
acid the blood out,
and they escape. He hits the button to try and freeze them, but they're already gone. He goes in there, and one of them grabs him into the hole. We then get a guard that comes in for whatever reason, and I do love when the alien comes over and hits the button with its little mouth.
That's the one with the brain in it, see?
Apparently. Must be.
Yeah, they don't really ever explain why they have two mouths, do they?
No. I did see this joke, though, where it was like, which relates directly to this doctor here, because it was like, when you're getting ready to get head from a xenomorph and it pops out its little mouth instead.
Wow.
Damn it, Chuck.
Sorry. I'm really sleepy.
We're later than normal.
That's true. We are a whole hour and 15 minutes later than we normally start it. So I wasn't surprised that Winona Ryder was the droid, because the aliens kept ignoring her. But also, like, does every one of these movies have to have a droid? Is that just like a necessity?
I mean, it's, yeah. It's,
synthetics are a pretty big deal in this universe, yeah.
Gotcha. It's basically part of their...
It's like a Terminator. Yeah, I don't think there's ever been one where they're... Have they done a movie where...
Alien vs. Predator, but that's only because that takes place in the present time.
I was going to say, to be fair, that's a totally different movie.
Correct. No, you're not wrong, but yeah, that's...
Or universe. It's. I think technically it was a different universe, yeah?
So, it's, yeah, we'll get kinda. Maybe we'll find, we'll figure out when we get to them.
Time travel,
yeah.
So like Romulus and like Prometheus, I don't think they have synthetics, but
I think you're right. I think
I've never seen those ones, so I don't know.
I just actually just watched them earlier this year before I watched Prometheus and did I watch Covenant?
I don't know.
I think
Covenant,
I think Covenant. I watched Covenant.
I just don't think Prometheus did. But...
Well, no, it did. It had David.
And Prometheus?
Yeah.
Oh, that's been a minute. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, okay.
Michael Fassbender.
Yeah.
Magneto.
Yeah.
So.
When at the end, when Sigourney Weaver and her alien baby, when she like betrays it and gets it sucked out the little tiny hole in the ship.
Baby hole.
The look on that thing's face was so sad. I actually felt bad for it when it's like, why would you do this to me? I thought you were my mom. You were like hugging me and loving me and stuff. Like what's going on?
I will give them credit for that creature. Like the animatronics they put into that thing is awesome. Considering that they did CGI for literally every other alien in this movie.
Which
like, and that, it was not great.
I know we'll get. I know that Chuck will get into it, but God, it was awful, and it made it so hard to watch. Because this, wait, when did Aliens 3 come out?
92,
and this was 5 years later.
This was 97,
and there was not much of a change in their.
The fact that in Alien and Aliens plural, those were what, 2 years apart? I think they had somebody in a suit. In Alien 3, I believe they had somebody in a suit.
For some of the scenes, some of it was definitely CGI.
Well, sure, but like
when they're running on the ceiling, and it's like actually a little like,
well, yeah, but I mean, that's
paper doll.
Yeah, but like that's still somebody running, and then they just upside down.
Yeah, whatever. That's true.
But like they still had somebody in a suit, though. Like, why couldn't they have somebody in a suit in this one and just do that again? Just like CGI
they didn't,
them.
They didn't
want
to pay somebody to make the suit.
Apparently not. Well, I also know that apparently, from what I read on IMDb. For the alien queen, they apparently lost the costume for that. So like,
how
they
do
had
you lose
to
a 900-pound 7x7 freaking 16?
Probably a fire.
Hole.
More than likely a fire.
Somebody has it at home in their garage.
Well, maybe.
And every now and then they just crawl in there and watch a movie.
I mean, that'd be kind of weird, but okay.
I think it was. Wasn't it like a bunch of parts? Like it was like a puppet.
Yeah,
right. But like the like if I thought I saw something about it. where it was just like the arms and the head were all independent, and then they had pieces of the body or something.
Because they had to take it apart to get it to the elevator.
Yeah.
Okay. I remember. Yeah, I remember saying. Yeah, talking about that. Yeah. That was in the second one.
Yeah,
and that, but that was also what, 83? Well,
no, 82.
Let me aliens. That's alien. Aliens. There we go.
I'm gonna say 85.
That's not what I. 86.
Okay, so that was 8 years after the first one. Because the first one came out in 78, didn't it? 79.
79. So 79 was Alien, 86 was Aliens. So we're 10 years away from, almost 10 years away from Aliens with this movie. So in 10 years, it's regressed. Easily you could find something, or something could disappear.
That's fair.
Yeah,
I suppose.
Oh, Romulus takes place. Okay, sorry. Anyway.
Yeah, so that was all my notes.
So I've got a couple left here. So when Call, when Winona Ryder's character, goes to try and quote unquote kill Ripley, she's got a bunch of spray bottles to try and get into her cell. By the second spray, it would have not worked.
Because
everything would have been starting to mix together. So there's no way she could have gotten into there.
Unless that guy's breath is just a mix of three bad smells that she sprayed on there, and that's how it worked.
Yeah, but it was all aerosol spray. Like, it actually was vapor.
Yeah.
So they all would mix together. None of it would have actually worked. If it was actual, like, breath, sure. But no, it wasn't. It was all actual vapors going on there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe all three of them combined is what made his, like...
That's even worse.
Like, maybe he's like a smoker, and then he eats a lot of garlic and onions, and then
he's a choker and the midnight toker. Sorry.
Some people call him Maurice.
Wow,
wow.
So, speaking of the alien there at the end getting sucked out the window, there's no way in hell Ripley would be alive.
100%.
Call would probably, because she's a synthetic, but when the ship is flying through space and then enters Earth's atmosphere, no, Ripley would be dead.
The ship would have exploded. It already had like a fucking hole.
Mm-hmm.
So, but most of the stuff should have started ripping apart.
I could agree with you there. I would also say, like, maybe because the whatever dock area was sealed off from the rest of the cockpit, maybe you could be fine, but like, no, I agree with you. Like, it all should have been torn apart. The ship should not have made it. Also, the fact that, like, oh, yes, we saved the Earth. Bullshit, you saved the Earth. You just crashed a giant ship into, what, South America?
Yeah, something like
that. The Earth is fucking dead.
This is how the dinosaurs went.
Save the Earth, my ass.
Yeah, they blew up. They blew up the space station, right?
Or whatever it was, ship. They crashed it into Earth because they couldn't blow it up. It wasn't enough residual energy to blow it up, so they had to crash it.
But see, here's the thing. Why didn't they crash it into the sun?
They couldn't turn the ship, I assume.
I guess. But like...
Because by then... I thought it blew up. I mean...
It did blow up.
No, I know, but I thought it blew up in orbit, though.
No.
Nope.
No, it got through the Earth's atmosphere.
The countdown was to the crash.
Oh, for some reason I thought it was like a nuke going off and blowing it up. I was very confused. Anyway, that was bad.
Yeah. Again, part of the stuff that why the third act to me was falling apart. The other thing that I want to say is Purvis, the guy they found alive of that group that had the chest burster in them, how he was able to still like run toward Ren after being like riddled with bullets
didn't make any sense.
No sense. Although him grabbing Ren and then having the chest burster come out through his head was kind of cool.
Yeah.
But let's see. Is that all I have? I think that's all I got.
You're telling me that the ship was dropped on a South American city.
Like Buenos Aires, and then like they went and
So what you're saying is they pretty much just did the plot to Starship Troopers.
Yep.
All right.
Although instead of wiping out just one city, they apparently wiped out all of the Earth because that was like huge ass explosion. Ship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not to mention that even if they didn't wipe out the Earth, you know there's some alien eggs somewhere on that ship that are going to survive the crash. Like,
quite possibly. I know, so like with Alien Earth, a lot of the aliens on there survived, but that ship itself didn't like crash like straight on. The pilot in there was able to like guide it.
Like the Enterprise through all the trees in that one.
Kind of, yeah, exactly. On First Contact.
Yeah.
First Contact? No.
No, it was...
Insurrection.
Yeah.
Insurrection?
I don't know. It was one of them.
Whatever one it was. No, it was... the one with Kirk. The shitty one with Kirk.
Oh, Generations.
There we go. Because they all died, and then when they went back...
Yeah.
Time travel. Alrighty. So I've got 47 for my kill count.
Damn.
Chuck, I assume you have nothing else to go with here.
No, I can't believe I came up with this much.
That's fair. Yeah, 47 for my kill count. I've got 2 lost limbs. I counted the guard with his frozen hand. And then I counted the knife tip of Johnner at the very beginning when Call broke it off, because I'm like, that sounds like fun. Why not?
That's fair. That knife was part of him. You could tell when he started crying.
It was. Yeah. He was really upset by that.
Oh. So, bingo, which shouldn't surprise you, misogyny, sexual innuendo, weird. Government interference, comic logic, fight for control of something, unexplainable science, animal cruelty, because the xenomorphs are animals, basically. They're just smarter than normal animals. Hero kills and meme origin, because I know I've seen that weird little freaking white alien in something.
Okay, I'll count it.
Chuck, what you got for the spawn cape?
Yo,
sink this battleship, buddy.
Yeah, this is like 1 out of 3, man. All the CG looked real bad. I hated the practical effects in this. They all looked really bad. There was some stuff that looked okay, like was like passable. When I looked at it, I said this probably wasn't revolutionary in 98. '97, practical effects wise.
Yeah.
I'm sure that this was a bit of a CGI feat for its time. None of that held up. That all looked really terrible. But even the practical, like, okay, I'll be honest, I hated that fucking alien at the end, the baby alien.
Yeah.
I thought it was hilarious.
It looked...
I didn't
again, the fact
understand
that
what
move,
it was supposed
to... Everything was looked cool, but like other than that, it looked dumb.
Yeah, I didn't understand what it was supposed to be either, so that was probably why I was annoyed by it.
A xenomorph with a human-esque face.
A little
right,
like,
so like
hybrid.
It was like a... Yeah, it was like a splice gene.
And then it had a tongue instead of a mouth.
Which was really weird, but okay.
It was what's a anti-venom? It was anti-venom.
Yeah,
or Gene Simmons.
and also the fact that he was just like, oh, he thinks that you're its mother or whatever. It's like, I think it's trying to figure out if it can eat her. Honestly, like, but whatever. Didn't understand why it bitch slapped it's the queen there, unless that. It was dead already. Anyway, there was a lot that I didn't like about this movie. Yeah, 1 out of 3 spawn caves. This does not hold up.
I will say, apparently Sigourney Weaver did actually make that trick shot, the one behind her back with the basketball. Nice. That was actually her making that shot. Time. Not on the first go. It actually took like a long time to do it.
Well, less than nice to that way. I thought
but
it was the first time.
But it was her making that shot though.
That's fair. So, okay, I have...
Go ahead.
I have a really bad conundrum.
All right.
Okay, because we're at the boob count right now. And while there were 6 different boobs. They were the same boobs because they were all Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah, but they were all six different ones.
So I counted as six, but then I put two in parentheses because like it was just Sigourney Weaver over and over and over again.
The kid one, is that are you referring to the?
So there was her in the tube at the beginning. And then there was like the seventh one that was also her like laying there on the table that was all weird. And then there was another one that was in a tube that was like just a little bit smaller than like her originally.
Yes. Okay.
And I thought it was kind of weird, but
I was going to say at the very beginning when it was a younger version of her that apparently they actually had pictures of Sigourney Weaver. Like she brought in pictures of her when she was a child and they formed that child
creepy
clone from her. So
from a picture. Wow. They've got really good technology. They made a clone from a picture. They didn't even need DNA.
Just for that little theme. Anyway, yes.
Not a Muppet.
So hear me out on this one. Reese, the guy in the wheelchair.
Okay.
Because I think it'd be pretty funny that he got hooked up to a Muppet being carried on the being carried on the back of him.
That would have been a lot better than my idea, because my idea was Hillard just because she had a really nice ass in that one scene. And that was really the only interesting scene to me in this
movie. That way a Muppet is massaging her feet.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Snorting a line of coke off her ass and then massaging her feet or whatever he did.
That's fair. Okay.
Oh, yeah. That was like the closest thing to sex we were going to get, huh? Basically.
Darn there.
Yeah.
You got anything, Chuck?
Yeah, I don't know. Not a Muppet. Ron Perlman. Because then he makes out with a Muppet.
Yeah. He kisses Breeze. Yeah.
And not only that, but you know, him losing a basketball match to a Muppet would also be funny.
To a Muppet. A Muppet
keeping the ball away from him would be freaking hilarious.
That would be good.
Too. I think Chuck actually wins with Perlman.
I like that one. Alrighty. I should probably bring up the my calculator and the actual diff. So on to our scores, Chuck.
Burn it down, Chuck.
Out of 10, what you got?
All right. Look, is this an alien movie? Yeah. I mean, it's got all the stuff. Look, on paper, this seemed awesome. On paper, this seemed like it was a nice... Oh, they were getting back into what the original Alien was. And I think that this is the scariest of the not original Alien movie that we watched yet. This felt more like a sci-fi horror than any of the other ones. Like more than three, more than two.
Yeah.
Three for me. This was shot like a horror movie. Like they had a lot of scenes, especially towards the end when everybody just kind of starts dying all of a sudden and getting like crazy murdered.
It's like they realize that we're 15 minutes away from the end. It's like, oh, we need to
cut. Why are all these people still alive?
Yeah, we actually have to like do some work and kill some people off. There was some stuff in it. I thought I was gonna like this in theory, and there was some stuff that I did like. I thought the kill scenes were cool. So I shit on the practical effects, but like the deformed clone of her looked really cool. The body horror stuff was really interesting to me. The problem is this movie caught me on a bad week. I also watched The Hunt this week.
I don't know what that is.
I think I know what that is.
With I can't remember what her name is, but the premise is it's like a reverse version of the Most Dangerous Game, where a bunch of elite liberals are hunting conservatives.
Yes,
yeah, it is a really good satirical movie.
Hillary that Swank, has a very
yeah that has a really good female role, where she's not reduced down to being the thing that everybody wants to fuck in the movie. And also it's a horror movie and she's not sexually assaulted, which is like,
you've heard of Emma Roberts?
What?
Emma Roberts or Hillary Swank?
Hillary Swank, I think is actually one of the bad is one of the antagonists of the story.
Betty Gilpin? I don't know who that is.
Anyway, it's a really I don't remember. I forget. It's the lead, the one who's on the cover on the front page of the poster. So it sucks that I watched a really good movie where they wrote a strong, powerful female character role. Joss Whedon is a gigantic dumpster fire piece of shit human being. Well established, and I think it shows in this. It's weird that for so long we praised him for being a good director because he did Buffy, I guess.
A good director and a good writer for, like, we said that for what, a decade and a half? And then shit started coming out.
Yeah, so like it's weird, and we only base it off literally a TV show that I don't think he had a lot of say in.
Two, because he also did Firefly, and then I found out a bunch of bad things about Firefly. What's Angel?
I mean,
the spinoff of Buffy.
Oh,
yeah, spinoff of Buffy. Sure. I don't think Angel was nearly as good, and also Firefly was on for 9 episodes, and then they canceled it. So, that being said, what do I give this? I don't know, 3.1. Again, I liked it in theory. I think that this could. I think if everybody actually showed up and fucking actually did some acting, and they
or
didn't,
some writing, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, I think the dialogue could have worked if Ron Perlman wasn't such a fucking creepo in it, and also Sigourney Weaver like tried.
Why would I try? They just gave me a dumpster load of cash.
Literally. Yeah, much. Ron?
So I'm pretty much right there with Chuck. Like, this would have tanked even lower, but it did have boobs in it, unfortunately. So, you know, as per my standard rule, I have to give it an
boobs
extra
get the point. Yep.
Yeah. But, like, it was just, like Chuck said, it was a really good movie in theory. Like, they could have made this a great movie. It could have been a great like story. It could have had a great, you know, shooting, great premise, great acting, whatever. It had some actors that had some chops, usually. And it just seems like everything just didn't work out. And I was bored through most of it. And like, I stopped it 3 times. One time because I started falling asleep. Like, I watched this before I watched Peacemaker. And I was falling asleep during this, and then I got to stay up through all of Peacemaker, but until the very end of Peacemaker, but that, anyways, but like it was not keeping my attention, and a lot of it was just kind of, oh, this is what's gonna happen, oh, this is what it's doing, oh, okay, oh, look, Sigourney Weaver's a super strong superhuman thing that's got, you know, like, it was, I don't know, it was just kind of dumb. I gave this a 3.15. Only because it had, you know, a boob. Otherwise, it would have been a 2.15.
I'm surprised the boobs were acceptable for you.
They really weren't. It was. I mean, they were more acceptable for you because I'm pretty sure they were rock hard 90s tits. Because I think they were all, like, fake. But, like, they weren't. I don't think they were actually her boobs. I think they were molds and stuff. But.
Yeah, I mean, like, the deformed clone really wasn't doing it for me.
No.
Weirdly enough.
Normally that's Chuck's go-to, you know, deformed alien egg, you know.
Yeah, should have worked.
Shout out to his exes.
Shout out. Boop, boop. Cost me $70.
So I was enjoying this movie, like I said, up until the third act, and then things started to fall apart for me. Talking with you guys, and I agree with what you guys are saying. There were major problems in the first two acts as well. Like, this movie isn't as good as it could have been. So, I mean, that being said, like, yeah, the acting here could have been better. The writing definitely could have been better. Like, we're just harping on the same stuff here. So I'm not going to repeat us because we've already said everything. I gave this a 3.51. Still a little higher than both of you, but I still enjoyed it for what it was. Now, mind you, this is definitely not the best thing I watched this weekend. I actually ended up watching the original House of Wax with Vincent Price over the weekend from 1953, and that one was awesome. That's a nice classic.
If movie. I recall correctly, that one's still kind of creepy too.
It is a little bit.
Like,
really good.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I haven't seen it in a long time. But
I wanted to watch that and then the remake with Paris Hilton, but that one is behind the paywall. I'm like, I don't feel like buying that, renting that.
Not until right now. Chuck makes you watch it for the horror corner.
Which, I mean, we're over with that. So unless it's on season two or three, which I don't think it is, we'll see.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised I didn't put that on. That would have made a lot more sense than some of the crap I made us watch.
So what was our total?
So that gives us a total of 3.25, which drops it in at number 142 out of 170. No, wait. Yeah, 142 out of 172. Sorry, my numbers were getting weird there. Which is just behind Superman 3 at a 3.35 and just above The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai and The Toxic Avenger Part 2 at a 3.23.
I might have actually liked both of those better than this, but I don't know. I can't remember what I scored those, so.
Yeah, I don't feel like looking those up.
That's same.
But, I mean, it's definitely, low tier, so.
Yeah, I think what sucks about that is, like, so I wasn't here for Buckaroo Banzai, but I was here for Toxic Avenger Part 2. And I think the important thing to know is, like, it's a sequel. Well, this was also a sequel. And also, at least Toxic Avenger knew that it was bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was a high budget movie that they threw a lot of money at, and they got this.
That
threw a lot of money at Sigourney Weaver alone just to get her back. Yeah.
Which, I don't know. Crazy thought. You could have maybe done this without her.
Yep.
Yeah, I know Winona Ryder specifically joined this role, or joined this movie, just to say that she, just to basically brag to her family or her brothers that she was in an alien movie. Like, she's like, I don't care if I die in the first act. I was in an alien movie.
See, they could have even...
That's kind of cool.
They could have even used a different actress as Ripley and had her younger as a clone. Or something,
yeah, they could have had her. Like, she looks a lot like Sigourney Weaver in this movie,
kind of
like a short Sigourney Weaver, maybe. Yeah,
yeah, like
there's like a foot and a half difference in their height,
yeah, but she could have played the younger clone.
I agree, yeah, 100%. Yeah. Like a teenage, Ripley,
yeah. And I think it's interesting because I think she probably. I don't know if she could have resisted. Well, she's already done Beetlejuice by this point.
Yeah, Beetlejuice was 89. Actually looking at her IMDb. Let's see here. Dracula was 92.
Yeah.
Edward Scissorhands was 93 or 94. I want to say. Little Women was 94.
Oh, yeah, so she could have easily done this.
Crucible was 96.
I forgot about that movie. I wish I could forget about it again.
You don't like The Crucible?
I've watched
it. It was 1990. Sorry.
So,
you what?
We had to watch it for school.
Yeah, they get naked in that.
We didn't get to see that part.
In school. Oh, they cut it out?
Mm-hmm.
Did I say Little Women? Mm-hmm. I thought
yeah, you did anyway. Twice now.
Yeah. Yeah, so like she could easily
see, and that's what I'm saying. Like, and I think Winona Ryder is actually a pretty good actress, but in this, I was just not impressed. Again, that could fall to the writing, that could fall to bad direction, but everything seemed deadpan.
I hate to put the blame on her because I would rather just blame men anyway. But I do think that it's Sigourney's fault. She could have really tried, and she chose not to. She was just here for the paycheck. And it showed.
Well,
anyway.
Chuck, where can they find you?
Hey, you know where you can find me? You can find me the last Sunday of every month on this little feed called on a show called Getting Franchise, the latest and greatest in movie franchises. Hey, look. Joey and I did a whole season. We did a whole season together.
Yay!
And we did a whole season, all horror-based stuff. And you could go listen to the archives and get caught up on 12 great episodes. At time of the release of this, we have just talked and or are about to talk about Suspiria.
Suspiria just came out. Last week.
The most controversial episode we'll probably release. And then, look, hey, Thanksgiving's right around the corner. We watched Thanksgiving, and then I'm going to say it now so Joey has to do it. Joey's going to put a link. Okay.
Yeah.
Joey's going to put a link in this episode at the bottom.
Oh, this episode? So God damn it.
So you can get caught up on Thanksgiving the musical. That's right. We found this what can only be described as a VHS rip that got digitized of a very small independent performance. I don't think any of them were in the union. of some troupe, whatever you want to call it, doing a musical version. Hey,
they had fun. You could tell they had fun.
You can tell that they had fun. Go into it with an open mind and a grain of salt, and maybe hopefully good audio. that being said, Joey and I liked one much better than the other, and the answer may surprise you actually on that. But yeah, hey, happy Thanksgiving. That's our treat to you.
Yeah, that was going to be coming out actually before Thanksgiving. Normally, we put it out the last Sunday of the month.
Yeah.
But the last Sunday is actually after Thanksgiving. So I'm like, fuck that. We're going to put that before Thanksgiving because
why not? Make our own rules here.
My show.
Yeah. This is what you're going to do. Okay. You're going to listen to give us, we're going to do the review. You're going to listen to it. Then on Thanksgiving, you're going to go put both of those on during your Thanksgiving dinner
with your family, with your friends. Who cares?
Yeah, and you're going to make all of the jokes that we made, and you're going to sound so smart from all of the jokes that we made. Outside of that, you can find me. You man love.
Sorry.
A bunch of man love. That being said, you can find me on the internet, kicked out of the hobby for all my hobby-related stuff on the internet. I also made I made cinnamon rolls today.
Ooh!
My one day off from work, and I cooked all day. Go figure. But I found a new recipe, so I tried it out.
How were they,
Ronald? Listen, I thought I overbaked them. They were a little crunchy on top, but otherwise, I ate three of them in a sitting, and my tummy has been hurting.
Crunchy on the outside, so
I don't mind. I don't mind the top. The bottom, so I use 2 tablespoons of butter to grease my cast iron. So all the sugar essentially caramelized on the bottom of the butter and just made this like really good, like candied bottom. Yeah. It was really delicious. Check out rhubarbandlavender.com. That is the website I got it from. They did a bunch of like Lord of the Rings cookbooks.
Oh, nice.
Meals of Rohan and Meals of the Shire and stuff like that. And they're very good recipes. Yeah. Highly recommend them. Anyway, Ronald, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and Blue Sky at Good at This Game. You can find my art on Instagram at Good Art This Game. You can also find it on our shirts on TeePublic. And I recently also did some baking. I made a strawberry rhubarb pie. And after I made the crust and the filling and had everything ready to go, I realized I didn't have a pie pan. So I ended up using a cake pan instead. So I had the tallest crust on my pie ever because there's only enough filling for like this much of the cake pan. But but that crust was like, it was very flaky and delicious. So I was pretty proud.
I folded it over and made it into like a tart.
Turnover. Yeah.
Well, I had both layers. Like I did a, like pie crust on top too.
Gotcha. Joe,
you guys can find me over on the social medias at comic book rundown. There you go.
This is my fault, guys. This is not Joey this time.
My brain is dying.
So late. Joey was supposed to be in bed an hour ago.
15 minutes ago. Anyway, comic book rundown on all socials. Email us, comicbookrundown@gmail.com. Rate and review us on your podcast app of choice. If you do, we'll read it on an upcoming episode. We've got merch on TeePublic, like Ron said, getting franchised Sunday of the month, like Chuck said, comic book rundown the last Saturday of the month, like I just said. Ron and I are going to be talking about Spider-Man this month. Ron, I might have you actually take the lead on this one. I'm running a little behind on my reading, so.
Can do.
Just saying. So I may not actually have notes, so we'll, it may be back in the old style, just going that way. Yeah. But yeah, we got that going on. Also have Kamen Rider Chronicles every Monday and Thursday of the week. Monday being Kamen Rider Zets, Thursdays being Kamen Rider Ichigo. Those have been fun to watch and fun to cover. But have a good time with those, actually. And then, so we got that going on. Our next movie. Oh, yeah, a song was done by Cam. Sorry, can't forget that.
Yeah, Cam, we can't forget that.
Next movie.
Despite that he has forgotten about us, we can never forget Cam.
I could never forget Cam. I'm a man of principle.
Yeah.
So our next movie, I was going to have us watch. You guys remember a movie called Star Kid?
Yes.
Chuck, do you know that movie?
No.
Okay. I was going to have us watch that, but I said, fuck it. No, because I don't want to have to pay for that one.
Yay.
I remember that movie being, like, not great.
It's dog shit.
So we're going to skip that one and watch Lost in Space instead.
Yes.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, I was just going to ask because I saw a clip of something of like the best scene ever where
the helmet.
Joey's helmet comes over. And I was like, yo, I wonder if this is on. I saw this in theaters and I remember liking this movie a lot. So I'm very curious. I don't think it holds up, though.
I think there's parts that hold up. I think it's, I don't know, man. Like, it's one of those movies because it's, you know, a remake of a, I'm not going to say a
50s or 60s TV show.
I think
show.
It's a 60s or 70s TV show.
Yeah.
60s, yeah. I think. Which is, like, the drama for the TV show back then is not what dramas are even in the 90s. So, and this was more of a sci-fi action-y movie, what they made. So, like, yeah. I don't know, man. It's gonna be interesting. Like, I know it's been at least 10 years since I've seen this movie. So, it'll be interesting to see how this goes.
Yeah, I don't think I think I sat down and maybe watched it once. And I think I turned it off because I wasn't paying attention. I definitely have not seen this since the theaters. So, should be good.
Okay. I've definitely watched this movie a few times in the last couple decades, but I enjoyed this movie, you know, when I watch it.
Same. Lost in Space has always been a good one that...
I mean, it's kind of like Rogue One, where there's like one scene that like makes the movie totally awesome. That's when he builds the gun and then flips his helmet around and starts shooting stuff. So
I will say, though, this is a movie that has time travel. So, you know, how we deal with time travel.
I think I remember hating that. I also wish I could go back in time and have. I had a bunch of toys. This movie got merchandised the fuck.
I mean, it's the late 90s. Yeah.
1998.
Like, yeah.
They definitely made toys for a movie that was not necessarily made for kids.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
there's a lot of sexual innuendo in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, Heather Graham says that's understandable.
Exactly. So,
yeah, it's true.
Anyway,
about the strike, Joss Whedon gets all the strikes, but also Ron gets a strike this week.
That's like Ron's second strike, isn't it?
I think it might be Ron's second strike.
That's
I
my first you strike
you, a while ago.
Do you know what happens when you get three, Ron? That's right, the penis exploding machine.
Chuck, why are you going to explode your penis if I get three strikes? That seems rude.
No, buddy. We put you in it, and we blow your penis up, okay?
No, it's
and
big enough.
And then you'll be neutered just like Scooby-Doo.